You would find your lack of faith disturbing. That guy. Man, that freaked me out last night at about 7 o'clock when I came back through and it was dark. It's like, oh! Okay. I'm fine now. But my age, that's kind of dangerous. So, glad you're here. We've got a couple more weeks in the book of James, and Mark is going to preach today. We gave him a twofer. We're going to see how that works. I think we'll be all right. We'll be all right with that. So as we've said before, James does not pull punches, so be prepared. He doesn't mean it personally. Well, maybe with you, Kathy, he means it personally. Did you know him?
He was a hit.
He was a little bit. Oh, good. Good. Not in rank, of course. So we're really glad you're here. Let's start with a word of prayer. We'll read the scripture. We'll bring the drama team up. Mark will preach. We'll all stick around and talk to each other and go home happy. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of meeting together. Thank you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here and the encouragement that they are to me. I trust that they're encouraging to you as well, Lord. I do pray that we would learn today, that our faith would be strengthened so that we can know how to face the world that we live in and not just endure and survive, but to make a difference. To those around us. Lord, show us what we can do, show us what we can't do, and not to worry about it. I pray that you would bless this time and be with Mark as he speaks to us and drama team as they minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. James chapter 4, no 5, I don't want to go backwards, verses 7 through 12. The flames again? Uh-oh, that's always scary. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They don't have to wait around here. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no so that you will not be condemned.
There's socks in my boot.
Either because we are still in an abandoned warehouse in the middle of Rockwood surrounded by the citizens of Gresham.
Oh, that's worse! Oh, I can't take it any longer! I absolutely am not going to put up with this, okay? I'm out of here. I'm gone.
No.
I'm leaving.
No.
Yes.
That's not safe.
No.
What's not safe? I am so tired of just sitting around waiting and wondering what's going to happen. I am getting out of here.
No, listen.
Now.
Listen up. Josh is coming back. He said he would. He said he's going to get us out of here safe and sound. We won't be in Rockwood anymore. Goodbye, Gresham. It's all gone. He's coming back for us.
You have been saying that right from the start, and I'm tired of listening. There's no Josh. I'm getting out of here. I have a plan, don't worry. You know I'm really good at accents and disguises. So I figure I'm gonna put on a persona of a native Greshamite. They'll never know the difference.
No,
no, no. I promise.
Josh is coming. He's going to be patient.
No, no. You don't even have any tattoos.
Yeah, well, they won't notice that because I'll be so distracting, okay? Yo, my peeps, who's going to sell me some meth?
Could have seen that coming. Hey, but you know what? Now they're distracted. This is the perfect opportunity. I can go out, get some help, okay? I'll be right back to get the rest of you.
Walter, no, no, no. Didn't we just learn?
They're distracted, man. Now's the perfect time. I'm sick of waiting around here. Okay, you keep talking about this Josh guy. It's obvious he's not coming, or else he would have come a long time ago.
Says who? Says who? He's coming back for us.
Okay, look at the facts, man. He's not coming. He would have already been here if he cared anything about us. He saved himself, all right? So I'm sick of it. I'm going to go out.
Not safe.
Well, yeah, of course it's not safe, but here's the thing. I'm going to go out there, get us some help, and come back. But if I don't come back, I need you. Yes, you. I trust you more than these other yahoos.
What?
I need you to come to help me if I need help, okay? If I don't come right back with some help,
no.
You need to come out for me. I need you to promise me. Stay out of this. I need you to promise me. No, no, no. Not just promise. Pinky swear. I need you to pinky swear, and I need you to put your left foot in, left foot out, and shake it all about. Swear. Come on! I need your help!
All right.
Time's wasting.
All right.
Okay, pinky swear, pinky left foot in, left foot out, shake it all about. All right. I'm ready.
Fine.
Okay, here I go. And remember!
Be careful.
It's a promise, and that's what it's all about.
I'm dead.
No, why are you dead? You're here. Stay here.
But I promised.
Okay, we both know what happened to him, okay? You heard the scream. All right? If you're so worried about it, when Josh comes and gets us, we can ask him to go looking for him also, okay? But stay here.
That's it. No more. I'm sick of this. Who died and made you king? G-Man. Josh. We've been stuck in this doggone warehouse for days. I haven't had a shower, I haven't slept. My cuticles are getting dirty. I'm like, that's it, I'm out of here. Now, there's two ambulances probably out there now. There's gotta be a SWAT team. I'm sure they'll be diverted. And you're just an ignorant old man. I'm out of here.
No, no, don't.
Well, I hope that was enough of a distraction for me to save him.
No, no, no! What part of this are you not getting? You hear the three screams? Stay here, Josh is coming back.
I get all that. I get all the danger, but I gave my word. If I don't do this now, I'm just nothing. I'm dead. I have to go.
Oh. Six months, Marvin. It's Ned. 6 months since the bears took over our society, Marvin. These filthy bears have been running around, acting like humans and taking over our society. And all we've had to keep us company is this knife and my lucky chainsaw. Why, I'm sick of it!
Hey,
why did you...
Put that back for storage.
No. Listen. Hey. Whoa.
Come at me, bears!
Come back. Turn off the chainsaw. Turn off the chainsaw. Or turn it down. That's fine. Listen, buddy. I don't know who you are, but I think you might be in the wrong skit. Maybe next week or something. But listen. Josh is gonna come and get me. He can get you also, okay?
Is Josh a bear?
No, Josh is not a bear. Josh will take you to the right skit, though, okay? But just be patient. Just be patient.
Be patient. So, if there's no bears, what's happened?
Okay, we're in Rockwood. We're surrounded by the citizens of Gresham. Just as bad as bears, but it's a different skin, okay?
So just normal, ordinary Gresham bears.
No, there are no bears. There are no bears.
There's no bears.
There's no bears.
Well, I gotta get to where there's some bears then.
Dude, no, wait. Just Josh will come. He'll get us out of here. He'll take you to the bears.
No, you don't understand. I ain't have like a revenge story going on with these bears, so I gotta go find a vendetta with some bears, okay? So I'm just gonna...
Dude, door's over here, okay? That's one thing. Another thing, Josh is coming. Be patient, please.
No, that's what the chainsaw's for, making a door.
Bears! He cut through this wall remarkably easy.
Oh, hey, Josh, a helicopter, good touch. How am I supposed... And a ladder, very nice. Okay, I'll just... Goodbye, Gresham. I'm not going to miss the meth houses or the parking on the lawn, but I do appreciate the lack of pretense.
Yeah, I'll just sit. Wow. Sometimes you just don't know how to follow. Where do you even go from there? Really don't know where to go. So if I were to say, who knows what IFTTT is? What? No? If then that. You'll see it a lot in shorthand for what you'd start with this and then it leads out to that. And over the last week, as I've been thinking about the book of James and this passage of scripture, I, for some reason, kept coming back to me that that's just the way my brain works. I tend to work in a world of if this, then that. If I do this, then this will happen, and then that will happen, and that will happen, and then that will happen, and that will happen, and that will happen, on to 10, 12 orders of magnitude until I'm just paralyzed by not knowing what to do because there's so many things that could happen. In general, I'm actually pretty good at doing an if this, then that, which has served me really well in my employment. One of the things I do is organize things so that if we do this thing, then these other things will happen more easily, or they'll happen faster, or they'll just happen at all, whereas maybe they wouldn't otherwise. But there are definitely times when it doesn't work out real well for me. So on Monday, I ended up working a really long day. I worked almost 12 hours. It was a really long day, and I was really tired. But I had planned out, I needed to make a stop on the way home. And I ride mass transit, and so I had planned out very carefully my route so that I could do it in the minimum amount of time. Something about if this, then that thinkers is that we tend to really like efficiency. Now, I really like efficiency. A few years ago, I was driving down the road when I still had a car and was gonna make a left-hand turn, and I came up to the stop, and there was three cars, and the timing worked out perfectly that we could all go at the same time, and I felt so good. I love efficiency, love it. So I had planned out this route, and I was gonna stop, I was gonna run into the store from one bus, and turn around and get out and get on another bus, and it would be perfect, and I would get home and only have lost maybe 15 minutes total transit time, and I love planning these things out, because again, I love efficiency, and I got from the MAC station to the transit center, and I got the bus that I was gonna get on there, was waiting, it was gonna leave in like 3 minutes, it was perfect, I ran up the stairs, I got on the bus, and then I sat there. And 10 minutes later, 7 minutes after the bus was supposed to leave, the door of the little break room with the drivers in it opens, and a guy steps out, and he looks like he's about 90, and he has a cane. And he comes out and he goes, and 800 years later, he reached the bus. And that was the driver. And I was like, oh. So, I'd worked for 12 hours. I was exhausted. And we finally got to Tanisborn where I needed to be. And I got off and I ran up to the store. And on the route, I'd figured out that, okay, what's the next bus I can get? Because obviously I'm going to miss the connection. But I have this app on my phone, so I was planning it out. I was like, okay, cool. I can still do this, and I'll only lose, another 10 minutes that I would have gotten. And I run into the store, and I was buying envelopes. So I bought them, and I ran out of the store, only to see the bus that was supposed to come in 2 minutes leaving. So one bus ran early and the other one ran, or one ran late and then the next one ran early, and I was in a foul mood. I was not in a good place. I did finally make it home. Because I had a few minutes, I bought a pizza. That made me feel better. Solution to a lot of problems. But I finally did make it home. But that's a case where I spent a lot of time and energy planning out exactly how to make something happen. But the results just weren't what I was looking for. And largely my annoyance was due to the fact that it should have worked this way. Because I had planned it out. There was a schedule. It was efficient. It would have been awesome. But it wasn't. I think that the reason that that kept coming to mind when I was reading this really all of chapter 5 of the book of James, is that James has talked for the first 4 chapters of the book, this is the last one, about behavior and actions, that when we input them into our society as it is right now, and you do an if this, then that on them, look really dumb. Pragmatism is not a great way to approach godly behavior, at least not the way James presents it. For instance, we talked back at the start of the book about how you interact with wealthy versus poor people. If you try and take a stance of, well, what does logically I follow through on thinking that if I treat the wealthy person the same as the poor person and treat both of them well and I honor the poor person, then my nonprofit organization is going to fold. Because the poor person doesn't have anything to give me, but the wealthy person, that guy can write me a check. If I do an if this then that on, if there's someone who's in need and I have the option of helping them in real concrete ways or saying, I'll pray for you, good luck. Well, if we help all of them, I'm going to be a poor person. And you know what, even if I'm not, if I have tons of resources, they're just going to continue to be poor because their behavior's not going to change. And, if I guard my tongue, if I pay close attention to what I say, if I'm always being very careful and cautious about that, well then, I'm going to just like always feel bad about my feelings. And I'm going to push them down into my stomach and just keep them there until I get an ulcer. There's not a great logical progression for what works to really obeying God's law from our perspective. We can't logically work our way from what God asks us to do to doing it. If what we want is for our lives to work out in a nice, efficient package. If we do what James recommends in chapter 4, and we don't judge each other, and I don't hold all of you accountable to righteousness, then you know what's going to happen? You're going to sin. I respect that Kathy came up to me this morning and said that though at the end of last week I asked for you to read these 7 verses of chapter 5, she couldn't remember what they were during the week and didn't. But I told her it was okay as long as she felt guilty about it, and that was what. You know, if we follow what James says about not judging each other, then people are just going to run rampant. Like, if I don't say something, if I don't do something about all of you people doing something wrong, then, you know, what's gonna hold the rich accountable? What's gonna hold the wicked accountable? What's gonna hold the judgmental, all you judgmental people accountable if I don't judge you? And I think it can be really, really easy to slip when we think about, when we read a book like James, where there's a lot of talk about Christian behavior, about how to follow God's law and what it looks like to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It can be really easy to slip from, well, this is what God asked me to do and how it applies to me, into, well, if those are the rules, then we need to establish some level of performance from all you guys that I can then hold you accountable to. And we can have schedules. And I can plan it out. It can look good.